listening to Musically Speaking on 91.9 KVCR. My name is Margaret Worsley, and I'm Associate Professor of Music at San Bernardino Valley College, chatting today with Dr. Joseph Modica. Dr. Modica wears many hats and is joining us today from his role as Artistic Director and Conductor of the Inland Master Chorale. He is also Director of the School of Performing Arts in the Conservatory of Music at the University of Redlands. And he also serves as Director of Music at the First Presbyterian Church of Redlands. Joseph Modica has a Bachelor of Music degree in conducting from Chapman University, a Master's from Cal State University Long Beach, and a Doctor of Musical Arts degree in choral music from the University of Southern California. Go Trojans. Dr. Modica, thank you so much for joining us today on Musically Speaking.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Can you start by maybe giving us a little history on the Inland Master Chorale and how long you've been leading the ensemble?
Sure. The chorale was started over 40 years ago and by Roger Duffer, who happens to be my high school choral director. And when I was in high school, I sang with the chorale for two seasons as a high school student and just fell in love with it. You know, singing with a large group and getting to do major works. Just absolutely fell in love with it. And Roger was a great role model, of course. And then I joined the chorale. This is my fifth season, I think. It's hard to tell with COVID, but this is my fifth season. And we've had a great time. We're singing about 83 members now. And,
wow.
You know, starting to branch out with our repertoire choices, incorporating more choral orchestral pieces, and, you know, moving the chorale in exciting directions. It's been really fun.
That's super exciting. And I know those were big shoes to fill, but your reputation precedes you and you're doing wonderful things for music and the community.
Thank you.
Let's chat about the Master Chorale's upcoming May 7th concert, where you'll be performing Karl Orff's epic work, Carmina Burana. Can you fill our audience in on why this is such an awesome piece of music?
Well, it is epic, and it's so well known. The O Fortuna at the beginning has been used in countless movies and commercials, and, you know, so it's very well known. I love the piece because of the poetry and, you know, that it was written so long ago and, you know, set in this contemporary style that is very singable and exciting. And, you know, there's chant light elements, there's big open singing, there's these beautiful solos, you know, and it's just an incredible journey that the listener has taken on. With this great music and the wonderful poetry. And so, you know, it truly is epic. There's a couple of different orchestrations. There's one with two pianos and percussion, which I've done before. I conducted that when I was up at Idlewild.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing the full orchestration. So it's 53 members in the orchestra and lots of doublings, you know, with piccolo and contrabassoon and things like that. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Oh, that is so exciting.
Yeah.
It's just got a lot of people on stage. As you mentioned, just the huge orchestra and choir. It's got a boys choir, right? And soloists.
Children's choir.
Mm-hmm. Children's choir. I didn't realize, just learned this recently, that there are two SATB mixed choruses within those singers. Do they stand on separate ends of the ensemble, or are those two choirs kind of integrated together?
They're integrated together. The double chorus only happens a couple of times throughout the piece. The way he's got it divided, there's conversations between the sopranos, altos, the tenors, basses, based on the text. And then there's a double choir section toward the end of the piece, but I have them integrated. And then the children's chorus will actually be, they're only in two movements in the final section, and they will come on the stage and stand on the sides. So, as you can imagine, it's a little tough to get all those people on the stage. But
do you have a choreographer for all of it?
Not really. We've got a couple of rehearsals with everybody to kind of figure out how we're going to stage it, but my assistant director has sort of taken the lead on that.
If you're just joining us, this is Musically Speaking. We're chatting with Dr. Joseph Modica from the Inland Master Chorale. Your soloists for this performance include soprano Kirsten Ashley Wiest, who is awesome and on faculty here at Valley, tenor Jacob Hall, and baritone Stephen Amy. There are also students from the San Jacinto Valley Academy Choral Program, directed by Zoe Peterson, who will sing in the children's choir. It sounds like all these artists are, for lack of a better expression, sourced locally. Is hiring local artists and community groups intentional on your part?
Absolutely it is. We have a lot of local talent here in the Inland Empire, mm-hmm. and these are people that I want to feature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they're all young artists. That have bright careers ahead of themselves. Actually, Kirsten is a former student of mine from when I taught at Chapman University.
Ah, yay!
Mm-hmm. And so this will be actually our first time working together in a professional way, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob is a member of the chorale, and so he will be stepping out to sing the tenor solo as the dying swan.
The swan!
Uh-huh. and Jacob is actually a countertenor, and just an incredible singer. He went to Cal State Fullerton, and he's just really a special talent. And then Stephen Amy was a student of mine when I taught the festival choir at Idlewild for many summers. And Stephen was a section leader for the high school group, and he just did the lead role as Colehouse Walker Jr. in Ragtime with us.
Yes.
And was spectacular, and people are still talking about it. He's just a really talented guy. And then Zoe is a former student of mine from here at the University of Redlands. She graduated with her bachelor's degree in music education and her master's degree in conducting from here.
That is wonderful.
So, yeah, and she's just an immense talent. Her choirs are singing beautifully. And I definitely want to give young artists a chance, you know, to be in this setting, get their name out there. And like I said earlier, we've got so much talent here in the Inland Empire. There's no reason to go beyond.
No reason to outsource.
Yeah.
Way to go. Well, that's admirable. We've talked about Carmina Burana and just it being a massive work. And for that reason, it's usually the only piece performed on a program. It's got five major sections, which contain 25 movements, but those go by quickly because they're essentially a taka in between all the movements. What are some of your favorite movements or maybe musical moments from Carmina Burana?
Yeah. There's many, but of course I can't wait to give that first downbeat, you know, of the O Fortuna. It's just, you know, it's going to be so exciting. At the end of the piece, the Blanza Flor et Helena, section, which Ave for Formotissima, is just sort of an epic closing and a climactic moment to the piece. You know, I'm really looking forward to that. The really fun stuff in In Taberna, where the tenors and basses are singing, you know, about drinking and rousing and having some fun. And it's just hysterical that this text was written by monks, you know.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. So there's, you know, that's just a few moments. But I love the solo moments, too. You know, the bassoon has that sort of creepy solo right before the swan movement, and the flute has some beautiful solo moments too that are really musical and touching, and
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just going to be a kick. I just can't wait.
I can't wait either. And was it intentional to program it more or less at the start of spring? I know part of the text is about the joy of returning to spring and the pleasures and perils of all that life entails. Is that why you've programmed it here in May?
Yes, that is exactly why. Yeah, we programmed it right before COVID. We were supposed to do this in 2020.
Mm.
And we got some very generous donations to help cover the cost of the orchestra, because as you can imagine, it's very expensive to do this production,
mm-hmm.
Especially for a small organization, a small nonprofit like ours. It's really difficult to do things of this scale.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some really generous donations to cover most of the cost for the orchestra, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, we were planning to do this in May of 2020. And, you know, 3 years later, we're finally able to pull it together. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. That is such a feat just to get it done. Way to go.
Thank you.
We've got to take a quick break, but we'll return to hear more about Dr. Joseph Modica's Inland Master Chorale program on Musically Speaking. I'm Margaret Worsley. We'll be right back. You're listening to Musically Speaking on 91.9 KVCR. I'm Margaret Worsley. Let's get back to my interview with Dr. Joseph Modica from the Inland Master Chorale. I love when composers create these homages back to ancient times. You mentioned chant, where we have guys like Orff with Carmina Burana, or another one that comes to mind is Ottorino Respighi, who wrote Pines of Rome and Church Windows, where the music sounds like it's orchestrated Gregorian chant, music so ancient. It really connects us all in a humbling way. So this music combined with the immense number of musicians on stage, it's almost like, not to sound too cheesy, but when you're like at the ocean or near a mountain range or you're at the Hoover Dam, it's like, it can be a spiritual experience even for those who aren't religious per se.
Right.
Do you feel any of that as a director, or is it mostly a technical swashbuckler of coordinating and organizing and troubleshooting issues?
Oh, no, I absolutely feel that. I mean, the whole point for me of doing live performance is so you can take your audience through a journey. And, you know, I tell the choir all the time, you know, anybody can get up there and perform, you know, but is it in your soul? And are you able to share that soul? With the audience, and are you able to connect? And for me, I only do pieces that I feel very connected to. And, you know, I try to share that with my ensemble, who then shares that with the audience. And so, yeah, it's definitely an emotional and spiritual journey that I hope our audience will take with us.
That is really cool. Let's talk a little about your planning for next season with the Inland Master Chorale. What's next up on the docket for that?
You bet. So we've got a very exciting season. We're going to start with Beethoven Mass in C and the Vaughan Williams Dona Nobis Pacem with orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new orchestration for the Vaughan Williams. It's a chamber orchestration, and so we're going to be utilizing that. That's also a big orchestra, and we just kind of couldn't afford to do another big orchestra. So we're going to do the smaller orchestration, but you know, the Beethoven Mass in C is so beautiful, and there's some dark moments to it. It was written sort of in a time where Beethoven was in a dark period and things. And so, you know, there's those kinds of elements. And then the Dona Nobis Pacem is an incredibly moving piece with, the Latin text intertwined with poetry of a soldier in World War I and his letters home. Mm. And so it's a very moving piece of music that ends with a lot of a sort of forward-looking optimism.
Oh.
And so it's a really, really incredible piece of music. Mm-hmm. Our December concert, we're going to do the musical White Christmas in concert.
Yay!
Yeah, so that'll be fun. very much looking forward to that.
Yeah.
In March, we're going to combine with the university orchestra and choirs to do a performance of Verdi's Requiem.
Oh, awesome.
In Memorial Chapel, and that performance will be part of the Defiant Requiem project. And the Defiant Requiem was started by Murray Sidlin, who's a Polish conductor, and he started doing reenactments of a very terrible thing at the Terezin concentration camp. And if I can share just briefly, there was a conductor that was imprisoned in Terezin during World War II. And his name was Raphael Schlechter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was imprisoned there. The only thing that he took that was a personal item of his was his score to the Verdi Requiem, his vocal score.
Mm.
And while he was imprisoned, he found an old broken-down piano in a basement somewhere, and he decided that he was going to teach the Verdi Requiem to the prisoners by rote.
Mm.
So he did that, and they ended up doing 16 performances of the Verdi Requiem while he was imprisoned. And of course the Nazis used it for propaganda and, you know, all the things, but the conductor was eventually transferred to Auschwitz and was murdered, unfortunately, but his story lives on. And so Murray Sidlin found out about this and wanted to reenact it. And so he did that, and he reenacted this performance of Verdi Requiem at the Terezin concentration camp, in the early 2000s, I think. And it became very, very popular. There was a documentary made, and out of that, a foundation was formed. And this foundation supports universities to do this reenactment of the Defiant Requiem project. And so we applied for the grant and got it. And so it's a university event, but the Master Chorale will be joining to perform the Verdi Requiem. That's March 16th of 2024.
Awesome.
So very excited about that.
Yeah.
Our fourth concert will be opera choruses and arias and whatnot. So that'll be a fun one.
How fun.
And then we're actually planning to do a tour to Italy in June of 2024.
Ah, really?
Mm-hmm. And we're going to do Verdi Requiem at the Vatican at St. Paul's Outside the Walls.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. As part of the official celebrations of the feast day of Saints Peter and Paul.
Oh.
And so we're very, and I get to conduct that one. So that's going to be pretty epic and fun. So
yeah.
Yeah. So we've got a big season ahead of us.
Oh my gosh. It sounds like a super exciting season. We'll have to stay in touch and follow you around your ventures. That's amazing.
Thanks.
You're listening to Musically Speaking with me, Margaret Worsley. I'm chatting today with Dr. Joseph Modica about the upcoming performance of the Inland Master Chorale at Memorial Chapel in Redlands. I have one more question for you, or maybe two. Can you tell us who George is, and how's he doing?
So George is the eighth official live mascot for the University of Redlands, and Candace and I are his parents, and we care for him. He's our dog, and he has a lot of responsibilities at the university. He visits the counseling center once a week and hangs out with the students. He goes to the communications, and he goes to the admissions office and goes on tours with prospective students. When there's special events, he goes to sporting events. He has a lacrosse meet tomorrow to go to. He goes to the football games. And, of course, with commencement this weekend, he's going to be very, very busy. So I think sometimes he has a busier schedule than I do, actually. So.
That's saying a lot, because you're busy.
But George is a great little guy, and he's my buddy, and we have a lot of fun with it, and it's a way for our kids to have kind of a cool, unique thing to experience. You know, having their dog as an official mascot is pretty neat.
Yeah.
And it's a way for us to, you know, feel a little more connected to the community and give back. So we're enjoying it.
That is very cool. You know, yeah. I was going to ask if he goes to rehearsals with you, but it sounds like he doesn't have time.
He's pretty busy, yeah. And, you know, it's late at night, and he has to nap, so.
Yeah. That is so cute. Go Bulldogs.
That's right.
Joe, thanks so much for chatting with us today. It's been super fun having you.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And if you're listening, I hope you can come and see the Master Chorale May 7th at 4 p.m. here at the University of Redlands.
Awesome. We'll be posting the Inland Master Chorale website and other pertinent information mentioned in the show online at kvcrnews.org/musicallyspeaking. Thanks again to Dr. Joseph Modica for chatting with us today, and we hope to see you at Memorial Chapel on Sunday, May 7th at 4 p.m. for Carmina Burana. Musically Speaking is a production of KVCR News in collaboration with San Bernardino Valley College. To hear this episode and past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/musicallyspeaking. You can also listen on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, or search Musically Speaking on your favorite streaming service. This month's episode was edited by Rick Dulock. Technical website and social media support come from Jessica Greenwell, Tim Steidel, Sean Houlihan, and Natasha Coles. Our student assistant is Tatiana Jennings. I do hope you'll join us next month on the fourth Saturday and following Monday for our next episode of Musically Speaking. I'm your host, Margaret Worsley. Thanks for listening.